Good morning, everybody. Dr. Ben Edwards here with You're the Cure. Thank you for joining us on this special edition of You're the Cure. Special because I was just going to play a recorded show today, which I'm a little sad about because it was a great one. It was Angie and Nicole and Kim, our wellness navigators at Veritas Wellness, and we're launching our first class, or second class actually, March 25th. We're doing a Veritas Wellness class. That's a six-week class where I'll do a lecture once a week, and then the wellness navigators will walk with you, hold your hand as much or as little as you need, through some one-on-one visits, some group visits, private forum, all that kind of stuff to help you change the diet and lifestyle factors that lead to chronic disease, but that also make you susceptible to coronavirus. But that show will play next week, since this coronavirus thing has really gone nuts, and the reaction to it is a little hysterical. I thought I'd come in today instead of going spring break and do a show. So, I'm happy to take questions on it. I'll give my opinion on this and try to bring a little bit of perspective and balance and maybe even a little levity. So, my first thing I want to say is the name of the show, You're the Cure, that's not just like a funny or a catchy little thing just to be a catchy little thing. It's the truth. Your body has a cure. Your body's designed to kill the coronavirus just like it's designed to kill cancer cells that we all have in us all the time. Your immune system detects them and kills them. Your immune system is incredible. If we steward it the right way, then it'll work right. It's not a big deal at all. That's what we need to focus on, is the fact our body is so amazingly designed and it will take care of us. We need to have faith in that and trust that and believe that, and not let fear and anxiety overcome us that we're just sitting ducks waiting to be killed by this coronavirus. I mean, it's crazy. This is basically the flu. It's a different bug, and it's a new novel bug, kind of like some of the other bugs we've seen in the past with SARS and MERS and all that stuff. So 99% of the people are going to have a cold, maybe a severe cold like a flu, if they get this. I mean, most people aren't going to get it. But for those that do, the small percent that get it, it'll be a cold, or like the flu. The flu does kill a lot of people every year, too. A lot, I'll say, a percent, 0.1% maybe. So we need to get some major perspective here. The run on the grocery stores, closing restaurants, closing our entire society down, I think we're self-inflicting more harm than the coronavirus is actually going to inflict on us. That's what I'm most concerned about, and that's what I'm trying to think about, is how to wade through this social and economic response that's totally out of hand, in my opinion. Not to downplay the deaths that are going to come from coronavirus, just like they come from flu and just like they come from pneumonia every year. I mean, our ICUs have patients in them every single winter that die from flu and pneumonia. So we need to, again, get a little bit of perspective. So that's number one. I think everyone needs to just relax and calm down a little bit. I mean, I think the cat's out of the bag as far as our leadership goes, making some major aggressive decisions on shutting down our society. And I really think that's unfortunate. So I just want to encourage everybody to try to go about normal daily life as usual. Now, I will say what we've been teaching on this show for however long we've been doing this show. But what we've been teaching at Veritas for 7 years, Veritas Medical, is you need to steward your terrain. This is all about your terrain. Whether you're talking germ theory with Louis Pasteur versus Claude Bernard's terrain theory, or you're talking the gene theory on chronic disease and cancer and heart disease and Alzheimer's, both of those theories are not accurate. They're not full and complete. Yes, a germ can come in and cause an infection and cause damage and even lead to this massive immune response that we call sepsis, and you can die. Of course, that can happen. But what I'm saying is that doesn't just randomly happen. That happens when your terrain has not been managed and stewarded properly. And it's such an easy example to give with cockroaches in your kitchen when you let the garbage pile up, or the algae in your fish tank when you let the temperature and the pH and the oxygen levels get off. These bugs naturally come to a terrain that's out of order, And it's that simple. It is that simple. You have to believe, you should believe that. You need to believe that. And you need to be most concerned about what's disrupting my terrain, not how much toilet paper do I need to stockpile. Every question and thought in your mind right now, every activity you do today, you need to think, does this bolster my terrain or does it undermine my terrain? That's it. That's all we need to focus on. Again, not just for coronavirus, but for this epidemic of chronic disease. I can't believe that we're going to let 25% of our girls under age 25 walk around with autoimmune antibodies to their thyroid. 25% of young girls with Hashimoto's, the autoimmune disease, and cancer rates being 1 out of 2, and Alzheimer's rates are skyrocketing, and we're leading the world in obesity and type 2 diabetes and all these chronic diseases. Autism's gone from one reported case in 1934 to now almost 1 out of 34 kids. I mean, this huge exponential rise, and we're not going to get a little freaked out about that? Come on. I mean, this is just absolutely ridiculous that we can have this death by 1,000 cuts versus this coronavirus and the response that's just totally out of balance. So, again, back to the terrain. So why are we the sickest country in the world? Why is coronavirus going to hurt us? Why is it hurting Italy more than it's hurting Germany? You know, these are the kind of questions we need to ask. Why are we the sickest country of all the industrialized countries? Why do more of our babies die than any other industrialized country? Why do more of our pregnant moms die during delivery and right after and right before delivery than any other industrialized country? Why does are we the leading country for chronic disease in patients over age 65 that have more than 2 chronic diseases? We're number one. Why is our infant mortality rate number one? I mean, we could go on and on and on about why is America so sick. And if you've been a longtime listener, you know the answer already. It's because we changed our diet and lifestyle. I'll go back to Weston A. Price in the 1920s. For those that don't know, he's a dentist, and he started to see a few more chronic diseases in his patient population in Cleveland, Ohio, in the 1920s. So he and his wife set sail with the goal to go find healthy people around the world and see what they were doing different than Americans. This was in the 1920s. And so he spent 20 years with 14 different people groups around the world, and he noted lots of stuff. But one of the biggest things he noted was the susceptibility to native tribes to tuberculosis versus not being susceptible to tuberculosis. And I would say tuberculosis is way more, if you want to be, you know, I say don't fear anything, but if you're going to be concerned, worried, scared, nervous about anything, I mean, TB would be way worse than coronavirus. And what Weston A. Price found was there were villages dying with tuberculosis, and then just down the road a little ways, the same villages, they were completely immune to tuberculosis, completely resistant to tuberculosis. I can promise you that germ was in their environment, but they weren't being harmed by it, weren't being killed by it, because their terrain was better. So what he noted in the differences in Switzerland and these other countries, the groups, the people, the villages that had access to sugar and processed grain, they were the ones susceptible and dying from tuberculosis because the sugar and processed grain altered their immune system, altered the white blood cell function. When you eat a high processed sugar and processed grain diet, you're going to hamper the immune system. It's that simple. And we've known this for over 100 years. That's one of the main findings of Weston A. Price's study 100 years ago. And that's all found in his book, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. So we've known this for a long time. Again, pre-World War II, we're the healthiest country in the world. Now we're the sickest. It's the same thing. We've altered our diet. We've altered our lifestyle. We're the most stressed out. We sit the most. We smoke the most. We don't smoke the most, but all these lifestyle factors impact our health. We do consume the most sugar. So I can't stress this enough. If you don't want to believe this, that's fine, but I think the evidence is quite clear. Germ theory died, and legend has it that even Louis Pasteur on his deathbed recanted and said, Claude Bernard, you're right. The germ is nothing. The terrain is everything. So steward your terrain, guys. What are you going to do today to steward your terrain? Skip breakfast. So that would make you have an intermittent fast. You know, if you ate supper last night and finished at 7 o'clock, if the last bite of food went in your mouth at 7, skip breakfast, don't eat lunch till noon or one, whatever the math is on that, 18-hour fast or whatever, that bolsters your immunity. Just doing an intermittent fast, being in a chronically fed state where you're eating a midnight snack, 11 p.m. and you're getting up early and hitting it with some donuts and cereal and whole wheat toast at 6 a.m., that's too broad of an eating window, and that doesn't give your body time to detoxify, to reset, to repair itself, but it also hampers your immune system. That is one super simple thing that'll bolster your terrain. Quit eating sugar. Don't eat the processed grains that turn into sugar. I mean, if everyone did this right now today, your immune system is going to be stronger tomorrow than it is today. So simple to do. Almost too simple for people to believe. But that is what, get good sleep. Go outside and get some sunlight. Get oxygenated. How do you oxygenate? Do some good deep breathing exercises or go exercise. Get off your tush, get out of the chair, and go move, and you will oxygenate. Fully oxygenated tissues work better. The mitochondria work better when you oxygenate them. The body works better when you oxygenate it, and these bugs don't live as well in a highly oxygenated environment. So what I just told you was sleep good, eat a little less, don't eat so much sugar, get some sunlight, and exercise a little bit. That is so basic that people think, nah, that can't be that beneficial. I'm not going to bore you with all the studies. We could talk for 5 hours just on sitting. This is what will bolster your immune system. And what will undermine it more than anything is fear and anxiety. And what are we seeing right now? Everybody living out of fear and anxiety. That's the problem. That will absolutely shut you down from an immune system standpoint. So if you want to be susceptible to coronavirus and maybe die from it, eat a lot of sugar, eat a lot of processed grain, eat a lot of pro-inflammatory fat. That would be soybean oil, corn oil, canola oil, cottonseed oil. Don't eat salt. Eat a low-fat, low-salt diet. These are what you do if you want to be susceptible. Sit around a lot. Do a little extra smoking. Stay up too late looking at your cell phone and your TV and your iPad, getting all that blue light in. Don't go outside. And stress out. If you do all those things, you'll be more susceptible to coronavirus. It's like a welcome mat and an open arms. Come on, coronavirus, come into me and destroy me. So let me go through those again. Go eat some sugar. Go eat some corn, wheat, and rice, especially if it's highly processed. Go eat some pro-inflammatory fats, canola oil, margarine, Crisco, soybean oil, corn oil, cottonseed oil. Those are pro-inflammatory oils. Go sit instead of move. Go smoke a little bit. Go stress out and stare at your iPad all night long and don't get good sleep. That will destroy your terrain. Okay? That's it. And what is that? What did I just describe? The standard American. That's what we're all doing. We're too busy to eat real food, so we got to run through the drive-thru or run and grab some packaged food that you can throw in the microwave. I promise you, all this restaurant and packaged food, it may be actually kind of good. We're shutting some restaurants down. But anyways, the processed standard American diet is cheap, it's addictive, and it's convenient. Sugar's more addictive than cocaine. They've done multiple studies that show your addiction center in your brain lights up more intensely when you spike sugar or when you eat sugar than when you do cocaine. I mean, the study on the rats always talk about 50 rats in a cage, sugar water every day for a few days, and then they shut that off and give them cocaine water every day for a few days. Then they shut that off, and they open it up to free choice where the rats can decide sugar water or cocaine water, and 48 out of 50 go to the sugar water because it stimulates the dopamine response out of the brain, your addiction center in the brain, a lot stronger than cocaine. So the American diet is designed to be addictive, totally nutrient depleted, and full of ingredients that can sit on a shelf and have shelf life. That's where you get these pro-inflammatory fats because they're cheap and they have shelf life. And then, of course, the processed grains. This mass production of wheat, when Norman Borlaug changed the wheat in the 1970s and won the Nobel Prize for altering this wheat because he cured world hunger because yields went up tenfold and the new wheat is drought resistant, wind resistant too, so the yields are much greater. He cured world hunger, won the Nobel Prize, but he also changed the starch content of that wheat. So within 5 seconds of you chewing on that whole wheat noodle, whole wheat toast, whole wheat cereal, you're raising your blood sugar aggressively. 2 pieces of whole wheat bread will raise your blood sugar just like a can of soda. So be careful following the standard dietary nutritional advice by your standard American health professional. Everyone should be raising their eyebrows at any standard American medical nutritional advice, because look at our outcomes. Why are we dead last in cancer rate, Alzheimer's rate, heart attack rate, everything? Why are we dying younger than any other country? Because of the diet and lifestyle. So who's giving us this diet and lifestyle advice? So be very, very careful. An honest physician will tell you that they don't know anything about nutrition because it's not in the curriculum. I don't care if they went to Texas Tech Medical School, UT Houston like I went, or Baylor Med or Southwestern in Dallas, or Harvard, Johns Hopkins, Mayo, all the curriculum is basically the same. And I got about 2 hours of nutrition in 4 years of medical school. Half of that 2 hours was spent trying to scare me about fat-soluble vitamins, basically, and vitamin supplementation, which we'll talk about that in a minute, because the fat-soluble vitamin A puts a protective coating around your cell from a viral standpoint. It kind of deadbolts your cells and prevents a virus from entering. This is vitamin A called retinol. Long-time listeners of the show, you know about retinol. We talk about it all the time. Beta-carotene is a precursor vitamin A. It's in plants. You have to take that beta-carotene and process it through multiple steps to produce retinol. And you need about 15 beta-carotenes to get one retinol. And all the different multiple steps you've got to process that beta-carotene through require energy and require minerals. Americans are demineralized and their energy outputs are very low. So what I'm saying is it's pretty much impossible for the standard American to take the beta carotene and produce enough retinol. So where do you find retinol? You find it in animal products, in the fats of animal products. That's why one of the reasons a low-fat diet is not beneficial for your health. You're missing out on the good animal source fat solubles like vitamin A. So eat your real pasture-raised, grass-fed butter. Real butter, not the margarine. Preferably grass-fed, not butter from a cow sitting in a feedlot or in a dairy somewhere on a concrete floor being fed grain. That's not as beneficial. All the dairy products, from heavy cream to whole milk, kefir, and all these things. But best to get it as least processed as possible. Straight from the cows is even better. Fortunately, Lubbock area residents, you're very blessed to have a couple of raw milk dairies here in Abernathy and in O'Donnell. But that's one source of the retinol. Of course, the organ meats that now nobody eats. So the liver and kidney and heart, what our ancestors used to covet, what Dr. Weston A. Price found in his research when he sailed around the world for 20 years. Ancestral people groups coveted the organ meats. And they threw the muscle meats like scraps to the dogs. And we do the exact opposite in America. We covet the muscle meat, throw the organ meats like scraps to the dogs. But beef liver has a lot of retinol in it, as well as the other organ meats. But cod liver oil, if you're going to supplement, if you've been deficient, you haven't been eating the right foods, and you want to bolster your vitamin A levels quickly, that's where cod liver oil comes in, because it has a great natural source of vitamin A. I do want to talk about the minerals for a moment. Where are we on time? 9:30. We got a few minutes.
We can take a break if you want.
All right. When we come back, I'll probably touch a little more on epigenetics, but I really want to get on to what do you do about this? Because I understand most of us are standard American. Most of us have not stewarded our health. So what can we do to quickly bring our terrain back into order? So we'll talk fermented foods, we'll talk supplementation. If you have, yourself or a loved one who is very susceptible, they're older. We know across the board this virus hits the elderly more. Kids are blowing right through it. Young people pretty much are blowing right through it, no problem. But if you are older and you are sick, and I'll give you my definition of sick, because you may not have that many quote-unquote diseases or not be on that many meds, which would be very unusual because the standard American's on, once you get past age 65, you're on 3 or 4 meds. But I'll give you the signs to look for me to consider your terrain to be off. And then I'll give you some tips on what you could do in the acute setting. Say you do get sick, you don't need to run to your doctor, run to the hospital. That's what's going to overwhelm our healthcare system, is every single person running to the ER when they have a little fever and a cough. Guys, come on. Do you do that with every cold or just the flu? No. Chill out. Calm down. There are things you need to do at home and not overwhelm our healthcare workers who are having to see these really sick Americans. I mean, come on. We're standard American. We're going to get hit because we haven't stewarded our terrain, unfortunately, because we've listened to the wrong advice, and we've gotten so far off base with our terrain, and we are the sickest country in the world. Yeah, we're going to get hit, and those healthcare workers are going to have to deal with some really sick people going into ICU that can't breathe, and we'll talk about that too, and how IV vitamin C has been proven in multiple clinical trials, and I'll quote those trials, and I'll give you the references that you can go look them up yourself. Just adding a little bit of vitamin C intravenously in the acute setting in the ICU in a septic patient can reduce mortality rates from 40% down to 8%. And this may be a time when finally we get to have some alternative treatments accepted by the mainstream, because mainstream is so overwhelmed and freaked out in the hospital. And this could be a potential lifesaver for many, many, many people. So we'll talk about that too when we get back, how to steward your terrain the best, how to not fear. And we'll get into that, too. This fear thing is absolutely crazy and ridiculous, and that's undermining you more than anything, more than sugar even. So stick with us. This is Ben Edwards with You're the Cure, Veritas, wellness.health. I think I'm going to start advertising that instead of medical. Veritaswellness.health. That's where you can sign up for our class that starts March 25th, and that will be live-streamed around the world. So wherever you're listening to this, you can sign up for that class. And you'll get some one-on-one help with our wellness navigators to help you get your terrain in order. And our goal is to teach you how to be well, and then you go on, live your life, be well. Don't need Veritas Medical or any medical services, because you'll be well. Your body will do what it's designed to do, which is function optimally all the days of your life, despite all the thousands and thousands of viruses that you're breathing in every single second. So VeritasWellness.health, VeritasMarket.com is where you can get some cod liver oil and vitamin C. We only have that market to bring you quality at the most affordable price. Otherwise, I wouldn't have a market. It's one other kind of thing on my plate to have to do. But I wanted quality, and I wanted a more affordable pricing for my patients, so that's why we have it. I'm pretty sure we sold out of vitamin C, though, this weekend. But we'll get more in. Cod liver oil, I know we have. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 and 95.9 FM with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, with Veritas Medical. Always check out the website, veritasmedical.com. You can catch past archive programs as well as Facebook Live. We're doing that as well now, so you'll be able to catch it on the Facebook page at Veritas Medical. We'll go to the text line. If you have a question along the way, feel free to do that at 806-745-5800. First question on the text line, Dr. Edwards, have you and your clinic changed your practice format from filling scripts to strictly a teaching practice?
No, we have not. We still fill plenty of scripts, unfortunately. I should probably be careful. I'm not trying to make people feel guilty or feel bad for when they need to do prescription drugs or treat a symptom. The only issue I have with only treating symptoms is I know that's leaving you more susceptible to coronavirus and to cancer and to Alzheimer's and to diabetes and to everything else. If you're just going to treat the smoke and not the fire, you're going to be more susceptible. Now, if you choose to do that, you're informed, you're educated, you've listened to all the videos, you've listened to your practitioner, and you're making an informed decision to just clear the smoke out of your living room, knowing the fire is still burning in the kitchen and you're probably going to die younger and suffer more on the way, and you're informed of that and you decide to do that, I'm fine. I'll write you a prescription. The nurse practice and PAs will write prescriptions, and we do plenty of that. But because of the burden on my heart and knowing the truth that system isn't the truth. I mean, that just treating a symptom is not the most beneficial way to steward your health. And even going more natural and just doing vitamins and IV drips and supplements and ozone and UV light and all the great things that integrative doctors do, in a lot of ways, that's just a green version of treating a symptom. I mean, berberine, head-to-head with metformin, berberine's an herb, metformin's a drug. They both treat type 2 diabetes, and they both do fine at lowering blood sugar, and pretty equally, too. So if you didn't want the pharmaceutical side effect of metformin, which is loose stool for some patients, do berberine. Or if you just don't like the thought of a chemical, petrochemical-based, man-made synthetic chemical going in your body, then fine, berberine. It'll work fine at lowering blood sugar. And that's an example of a pharmaceutical symptom treatment versus a green version, an herb. But guess what, guys? Both of those are still leaving you susceptible to coronavirus because diabetes will increase your risk of coronavirus and all the other viruses and lots of other things, including cancer and Alzheimer's, because high blood sugar disrupts your immune system and drives inflammation. And treating high blood sugar is not the answer. You want to cure or reverse or put into remission your type 2 diabetes by dealing with the cause, which is insulin resistance. Insulin resistance can only be dealt with through diet and lifestyle. So if you really want to be healthy, then yes, go to the education curriculum. That's why I started Veritas Wellness.health, and our Veritas Wellness Navigators are more prominent now. And my goal is to spread that around the world because that's the truth. That's what's really going to decrease your total susceptibility to all disease, and acute and chronic. So that's a long answer. We do still treat patients with pharmaceuticals and with integrative symptom treatments, but everyone needs to be clear. Our medical system treats symptoms. High blood pressure is a symptom. Reflux is a symptom. Migraine headaches are a symptom. Chronic fatigue is a symptom. Fibromyalgia is a symptom. It's a symptom of disorder at the cellular level of your mitochondria. Your mitochondria has got to produce energy, and it's got to clear exhaust, and when it does it beautifully, your cell will function normally. If that's an immune system cell, a brain cell, a heart cell, whatever cell, a pancreatic cell, it'll function normally if you steward that mitochondria and steward your intracellular health. That's why nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace, the four pillars, is the foundation of what we teach, because those four things will bring health to your mitochondria.
Another text from the text line. I think we have one on Facebook as well, but do you feel like there will be a shortage in quality supplements because of all the hysteria?
Probably. At least a temporary back. I mean, all the stores will sell out, so then you got to go to your suppliers, get them to ship to you. So, I mean, there will be a little bit of a lag. These suppliers that produce super high quality, if everyone buys the highest quality, yeah, I mean, there's a potential for that. I mean, we know the market, supplement market has increased substantially. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if you saw a graph on the number of people buying supplements these days compared to 10 years ago, there's been substantial growth, and the predictions over the next 5 years is even more growth. So, I mean, that system's been ramping up, but if you get a sudden onslaught from all of America, yeah, I mean, people are going to run out. I know my staff told me this morning we were out of vitamin C, but we'll call our supplier and we'll get some in, hopefully ASAP. Probably since I talked about cod liver oil, we may sell out of that. And then the health food stores around town probably will too. We're not taking advantage of a crisis. We're not raising our prices. In fact, I'll probably drop our prices on our IV vitamin C because we do member and non-member. So those that want to support us and be a member of our clinic, they get a better price. They get a very, very good price compared to people around the country anyways. But for non-members, people who aren't committed to us, don't really want to buy into what we believe, but do want to just run over to get a quick IV, yeah, we have that capability too. But those prices are higher because it has to be. It's a business decision. I want to support the clinic through membership. And to keep our member prices so low, we have to charge more to non-members. But what I'm saying is I'll probably drop the non-member vitamin C drip prices. So with that being said, I want to say a little something about the vitamin C. I mentioned I would quote from some studies. But before I do that, was there another question on Facebook?
Italy. Yes. Someone wanted to know, yeah, why is it so bad in Italy?
And so the question is, why is it so bad in Italy? And I don't know for sure. And this is just an observation I made this weekend. I was looking at a map of the spread of coronavirus in Europe. And it was just an interesting side note. Italy, which I know that was kind of ground zero, I think, in Europe. So it's been there a little longer. That's part of it. But percentage-wise, looking at the death rate, there's been, and this was as of Saturday, I think, 12,462 cases and 1,016 deaths. And you look at Spain and Ireland and UK and France, excuse me, and those, the percentages aren't so bad. And very interesting is that Germany has 2,078 cases and only 3 deaths. And what I mentioned on the video this weekend, I mean, I have no idea why that is. Hopefully we'll be able to sift through that data later and come back and see. My guess is, I know that Germany is very much on the forefront of integrative medicine, has been for 100 years. I've had patients come from Germany that tell me and report to me that most patients with cancer in Germany are on mistletoe as an adjuvant therapy to their chemo, or sometimes is without chemo. But mistletoe is a complementary therapy, and the outcomes are better. And there's lots of published data on that. And I know John Hopkins picked up a study based off how well Germany was doing with mistletoe. Medicinal ozone. Ozone's O3, so I call it super oxygen. And ozone has been documented, published literature, having benefits on coronavirus, Ebola, not corona. There may be something on corona out there because I'm quite certain it'd be effective. Because the way a virus enters a cell is through a sulfhydryl group. It's these finger-like projections on the virus, and it attaches to your cell membrane, enters your cell that way, and ozone will oxidize those finger-like projections, prevent it from going into the cell. But the Germans have published on this for over 100 years, and I've been told that just about every doctor in Germany uses medicinal ozone in their clinic. Vitamin C works similar to the ozone with that oxidative stress therapy to oxidize the virus. So I don't know. You know, I imagine Germany's using a lot of these integrative techniques, and that's why they only have 3 deaths. But that's conjecture. It's a guess. It's my opinion. I don't know. It'll be interesting to study that later. But the thing on Italy, and again, I'm not a Europe expert, so don't, you know, this is totally up for debate, I'm sure. I'm not claiming to be an expert here. But I did have some friends travel in just last month. They're spiritual coaches, missionaries, basically. And they have relationship with people in London and Rome, close relationship, and they've been to Italy lots of times. And when they told me that, you know, Italy's a third world country, I mean, I was shocked. I thought they were joking. And then they went on to explain, oh, no, the WHO or the UN, whoever makes that designation, downgraded them to third world status based off their economics and based off other factors, too. But basically what they were describing was a country in a shutdown, chaotic mode. Graffiti everywhere, gang, mafia, just the fabric of the cultures was torn apart. People were leaving that country. The birth rates were declining. Like, it sounded like the country was kind of falling apart. I couldn't believe it. But this was firsthand accounts from people on the ground, and Italy in particular, of all the countries in Europe, was really, really taking a hit, it sounded like. So in my mind, obviously, that just translates to, well, you know, the poorer and the sicker, the third world, I mean, the health outcomes are always worse in those countries. The nutrition's not as good. The services aren't as good. It's third world country. So that's kind of my guess on that. Again, it's my guess. That is not any kind of official statement. Any other questions before I go to the vitamin C?
Yeah, one was, who is your supplier for the vitamin C? Or where do you get it from?
Formula IQ, and we had Mike Casey on the show just 3 or 4 weeks ago, and that's archived on our website, veritasmedical.com. You can go under resources and go to radio show archive page. It'll be on there, and you can hear from him directly. He's the founder and the CEO. That's Mike Casey, Formula IQ. And the thing about his vitamin C in particular that I like is it's food-based. He sources that ascorbic acid from food, and he also uses whole food products in our particular vitamin C. It's a whole food-based vitamin C. And so real quick side note there. Daily, we should be obviously consuming our nutrients through food. That's how God designed us and intended it, because there's so many different phytonutrients in the food. I don't have the slide in front of me, but I was at a conference on the mitochondria earlier this year in Dallas, or late last year, and there was a guy there, I think he was from Mayo, and he showed a study of cranberries. He studied, I think it was 8 different varieties of cranberries. He said there's like 100 different varieties, and he studied like 8 of them or 12 of them. There were something like 10,000 different unique chemicals in a cranberry. These are called phytochemicals. So there are other chemicals besides vitamins and minerals in these plants, in the berries in particular. But the fascinating thing was the next species of cranberry had its own set of 8,000 different phytonutrients. Only a few of them overlapped. So just in the cranberry family, the different species of cranberries had you know, millions of different phytonutrients all together. So when you eat a whole food source, eat food, you get a combination of thousands of beneficial chemicals plus the vitamins and minerals. So that's number one. That's where you want to get it. You want to fill your pantry and your refrigerator and yourself full of that. However, because we've changed the way we produce food and our food comes from thousands of miles away or even internationally and it gets picked too early and it's not vine ripened and it's sprayed with pesticide, this is going to be longer than a tangent, but I think it's important for people to understand the way we produce our food is completely adulterated and it's producing food that's barely even I could classify as food anymore. It is an orange and a cranberry and a whatever, but it's made from a plant that's living in soil and the soil is dead. We have completely undermined the health of our soil. And I'll give you an example. When you put a plow through the soil, it disrupts the fungi in the soil. Well, the fungi is what grows and gives the soil the texture, the quality of like a chocolate cake, like that sponginess, has the porous nature. Well, it's those pores in the soil that hold the water. The water droplets is where the bacteria live. The bacteria work on the pebbles and the rocks and the stones and the clay and all that to get the mineral out of the rock form into a water-soluble form that the plant root can take up and put into the cranberry and the spinach and the carrot and all that. So when a plow goes through the earth, it disrupts the fungi, and therefore your porous soil's gone or compromised, and the bacteria, the hydration status of the soil and the bacterial status of the soil is totally altered. And that's just a plow. After the plow came in, we started adding synthetic man-made fertilizer, ammonium nitrate. That's to make the plant grow rapid and grow green because a farmer gets paid for the pounds of wheat and corn and soy. It's per pound. That's where the value's at from a farmer's standpoint because that's what the market asks for. But when you grow rapid and fast, you don't allow the plant to bring in the trace minerals. Plus, you make a weak plant because it's a artificially, it's a one nutrient synthetic fertilizer is this mononutrient that makes a plant grow fast to get green and get tons, but it's a weakened plant because its mineral status is off. So now it's susceptible to pests. So now we got to bring in pesticides, herbicides, fungicides. So all the chemical spraying. So there's a chart, a graph I show in my lectures. Maybe I'll do it later this week online so people can see. But it's a huge drop, huge reduction in the mineral content of our soil from the early 1900s before the plow came, before ammonia nitrate synthetic fertilizer came, before the herbicide pesticide came. But every step of the way, when man enters the picture and does another manipulation of the natural environment, the mineral content goes down, down, down. The nail in the coffin, when glyphosate started being widespread in the 1990s, glyphosate was patented as an antibiotic, so it absolutely kills the bacteria in the soil, and it's a chelator, and a chelator means to grab or to claw and to hold on to and not let go of. So it chelates the very last mineral that's there, and it kills the bugs in the soil. So my point is our food, even organic, I mean organic's better, but our food's just devoid of nutrients. And there's multiple studies, I've done lectures on this, that show it takes like 26 apples today. Well, this was 1997 data. 26 apples in 1997 to equal one apple from the 1950s as far as the mineral and vitamin content. Dr. Don Davis at UT Austin produced a study in the late 90s showing this. And it wasn't only the farming techniques. What he also noted was farmers were specifically picking varieties to grow, like of tomatoes. All the different varieties of tomatoes, they would preferentially pick the varieties that had the genetic predisposition to be able to sit on a shelf longer and look prettier. Plumper, rounder, more uniform, more bright red, could take a bump on the road, you know, in the truck going to the grocery store and not bruise as easily, could sit on the shelf longer. All those traits that's what farmers are looking for at the expense of the mineral and vitamin content. So our food's devoid. There was another guy I was listening to on a podcast. He can scan food with this little iPhone app. It's more than that. It's not an app, but it's like a little gadget like your phone. But he scans the food for the vitamin, nutrient, and phytonutrient content. And what he found was actually, he said the Walmart spinach had more nutrition than like Whole Food, or don't quote me on that exactly, but it was Walmart. But his point was, the reason being, because the number one factor of nutrient depletion in food is the time. Do your stopwatch. As soon as you pick it off the plant, start your stopwatch, and then the time until it goes into your mouth. The longer that time is, the more the nutrition leaves the plant. And Walmart moves so much spinach in a day. They were rapidly, you know, the turnover was super fast. So they were getting their spinach in right away and selling it right away, and it just had more nutrient value. I thought that was interesting. But that goes back to our farm to table. Find a local farmer. Get a garden going yourself. When you can eat food vine ripened right off the vine, it's going to have more nutrition for you. I forgot what the question was, but... Oh, supplementation is what I was talking about. So you want to eat it, number one, but be careful because our food's so depleted because of our farming techniques. If you have the benefit of a regenerative agriculture farmer in your backyard or near you and you can go there and get food, that's number one. Do that. Regenerative is way better and beyond just organic. So try to get it in your food. When you can't, though, then get it through supplementation. But whole food is best. Whole food vitamin C is going to be your best because it's going to have all... those other nutrients. It's going to have the whole car, I say. You know, all the inner workings of your car, your transmission, your carburetor, your steering wheel, all of it. The ascorbic acid, which is what's used in these studies I've been quoting, that's just the outer shell of the vitamin C. And again, the studies I'm about to quote here show great benefit in the ICU setting. That's undeniable. So we've got to start to think about long-term and daily supplementation versus treating a symptom. So in the acute setting, you're going down the tubes, your fever's through the roof, you're starting to get respiratory distress, you're really sick, you're maybe going to go to the hospital, or say you're already in the hospital, we're needing a short-term rescue device. And that's where I do go with ascorbic acid. Morley Robbins might be rolling his eyes right now, and we'll have him on in a couple weeks and talk about it. And he and I have already talked about it. He knows where I stand. I know where he stands. And he'll tell you he can't explain this data that shows ascorbic acid in the acute setting is beneficial. But again, I'm a clinician, I'm a physician, and it's whatever it takes to get this patient over the hump and keep them alive, that's what we're going to do. So yeah, in the ICU setting, I'm going to be using vasopressors and all the pharmacological agents I can use in the ventilator, and of course IV drips and everything at our disposal to keep that patient alive. But I'm also going to add the ascorbic acid based off of these multiple studies. This isn't just one of these studies was multiple trials from around lots of different hospitals, including Cleveland Clinic. So it's safe, it's effective, and there's really no side effect profile to it. Why wouldn't you use it? It's crazy that every hospital right now has not already had a protocol for vitamin C on the books. And hopefully now that we're in this crisis and they're going to be overwhelmed, that they'll consider it. Because, again, the data's there. The literature's there. It's clear. And I would love to know in Germany if they're doing that. So short-term, you know, a day or two or three, and most of these studies were like 72-hour studies, ascorbic acid, I can't say not to do it. So for the root cause protocol folks out there, hear the difference. Your daily long-term supplementation and your diet needs to be full of the real thing, the whole food, vitamin C. But if you're in a pinch and you're sick and you're trying to turn the corner for a day or two using ascorbic acid high dose, I'm not against it. So real quick, you can do this orally. You don't have to do IV because we had some questions about that. Where's an IV vitamin C clinic around the world or around the country? I don't know. I don't know where all those clinics are. You could Google functional medicine doctor in the name of your city, or integrative medicine doctor, or natural medicine, or holistic medicine in the name of your city, and then just call them up and ask them if they do intravenous vitamin C. But you can do oral. You can go get some buffered vitamin C, like powder, and I would probably put 5 grams or 10 grams in a bottle of water. Coconut water probably will be most nutritious. Shake it up and sip on it throughout the day. If you took the whole 5 grams or 10 grams at one time, it wouldn't hurt you in any way. It's not toxic, except that your bowel, your gut, cannot absorb that much at one time. And it's going to pass through you, and it's going to pull water with it, and you're going to have diarrhea. So that's the only downside of vitamin C orally, is your bowel tolerance. So I'll tell people, put 10 grams in a bottle of water, sip on it all day to bowel tolerance. If you start to get a little loose stool, back off a little bit. And then if you're not getting loose stool, then increase it a little bit. So it's been shown to be very effective. Blood levels will get up with oral intake. So it's fine. You don't have to do IV. But if you need to do IV, we'll do it. We had another Facebook question, a list of integrative farmers. I don't have that list. Maybe we can text Chad Wall here locally. I know locally Chad Wall's the man. If you're a farmer out there and you want to get into the integrative circles, Chad Wall, and he's having more of a national and international footprint even now. And you cotton farmers really need to talk to Chad Wall, because with his systems, the farmers are actually producing better cotton crops, higher yields, better quality yields. He does regenerative ag consultation. But honestly, I don't have a list of regenerative farmers around the country, but probably just an internet search with the name of your community, and maybe you'll come up with something. All right, real quick on these vitamin C studies. This is from JAMA, actually, October 1st, 2019, so just a few months ago. The effect of vitamin C infusion on organ failure and biomarkers of inflammation and vascular injury. So this was a study they were looking at septic patients. So when you're super sick with corona or any bug, the way it really overwhelms your system is your immune response, actually, because you haven't stewarded your immune system. And there's multiple branches of your immune system. Think of it as Army, Navy, SEALs, Air Force, Marines. So you should be balanced in all those areas. And if that's balanced properly, then when you first get a germ, your snipers and your border patrol will identify it and take them out quickly. If your border patrol and snipers are hamstrung or they're not very effective because you eat too much sugar and you're stressed out, and that alters your terrain to the point that your Marines and your border patrol are hampered or non-existent, then this bug penetrates you. It gets into you, and it multiplies and multiplies and multiplies, and now you've got to carpet bomb the whole thing. You got to go in with your bombers, and you just got to lay carpet bombs on the entire jungle. You can't do the smart bombs. You don't have the laser-guided smart bombs. You don't have the snipers anymore. You have absolutely turned those off with your sugary diet and your standard American stress and your sleep habits and your smoking and all the other diet and lifestyle stuff. So when you start carpet bombing, when that part of your immune system turns on, it's overwhelming response. That's what actually sends you into this septic shock, acute respiratory distress syndrome, ARDS. That's what people die from with coronavirus, is ARDS and septic shock. So when you're in that state, when your immune system just totally, totally carpet bombing, your blood pressure drops. And when your blood pressure drops, you don't perfuse your organs. So your kidney, your liver, your heart, your brain doesn't get enough oxygen because your blood pressure is so low, and you die. That's it. That's how it works. So what do doctors do? What do doctors do in the ICU? Well, they'll give you antibiotics and antivirals, and that'll help some, but not enough at that point, usually. That's why it's such a high mortality rate when you're into this septic shock. So they give vasopressors. That's a drug that will artificially elevate your blood pressure to try to buy you a little more time. They'll put a ventilator down, a breathing tube down your throat to pump oxygen into you. It'll help buy you some time. Hopefully your own immune system will get back in order and get this thing under control in order to save your life. But the reason people still die, even with man-made blood pressure raisers and a ventilator, is because that overwhelming chemical response of your immune system. It's just too much. And these little Band-Aids big Band-Aids we're throwing at it aren't enough. I mean, the oxygen cannot penetrate your lung to get into your body. Even though you're on a ventilator, the oxygen's going into your lung cavity, but it can't get through all the pus and the fluid and the inflammation and all those immune system cells that are lining your lung, so you die. Anyways, that's the picture I'm painting for this study. October 1st, 2019, JAMA, effective vitamin C infusion on organ failure. And again, the organs fail because the blood pressure is so low. And markers of inflammation. So if you just read the abstract of this study, that's a crazy thing. The abstract only has those two outcomes. They measured the organ failure score and the C-reactive protein, which is a marker of inflammation. There wasn't much difference. So if you just read that abstract on vitamin C, you say, man, it didn't really work. Well, the secondary measures that they looked at was mortality. How many people actually died? And that's probably what everyone really cares about, but it's not in the abstract. You have to read the whole article. And here's the results. The mortality rate at day 28, 29% versus 46%. Less people on vitamin C died than that weren't on vitamin C. Here's another one. This is a Journal of Research in Pharmacy Practice. This is April of 2016, effect of high dose ascorbic acid on vasopressor requirement in septic shock. So they gave vitamin C in these ICU patients to see, did they need as much vasopressor? Did they need as much drug to bring the blood pressure back up? So what they looked at mortality rates. Mortality rates, and this is 25 milligrams per kilogram every 6 hours for 72 hours. Mortality for the vitamin C group, 14%. Mortality for the non-vitamin C group, 64%. Again, that's the Journal of Research in Pharmacy and Practice, April of 2016. Here's another one.
Question. Oh, I was just going to, you want to take a text right quick? Or go ahead and read that
one. Well, let me do this last one real quick.
No,
this is from Chest. It's a pretty well-known journal. The Chest Journal, what's the date here? June 2017, volume 151, issue number 6, page 1229. What they did was low-dose vitamin C, 1.5 grams. So in our clinic, we'll do 10 grams, 5 grams, 15 grams, 20 grams. Sometimes we'll go up to 50 or 100 grams. The literature is clear. It's safe to do that. But anyways, this study was 1.5 grams of vitamin C, plus they did a little bit of thiamine, which is B1, vitamin B1, and a little hydrocortisone. And the mortality rate for that group, the vitamin group, was 8%. The mortality group for the group that did not get the vitamins, and again, these are ICU patients, septic shock, severe sepsis, 40% death rate. 40% death rate in the placebo group, the group that got all the normal standard of care in the ICU. And the group that got all the normal standard of care plus a little vitamin C and B and hydrocortisone, 8%. 40% versus 8% death rate. And they did do, they had a third group, placebo plus the hydrocortisone, which is steroid. And even compared just to that group, same thing. It was the vitamin C and the B1 that provided all the benefit and got the mortality down to 8%.
So the question on the text line is, my husband and I are 79 and 81 in Veritas patients. Should we quarantine ourselves?
Okay, this is a good time to answer the question on are you well or are you sick? Are you well, a 79 and 81-year-old, or are you inflamed? So signs of inflammation are any symptom pretty much. If you have high blood pressure, if you have reflux, if you have chronic headaches or daily headaches or frequent headaches, if you have low energy to the point that you call yourself like a chronic fatigue, or put a tape measure around your belly button. Are you at 35 inches or below for a man, 30 inches for a woman at the belly button? If your A1C, that's your 3-month blood sugar average, if it's above a 5.3, if your ferritin is elevated, if your C-reactive protein is elevated, if your triglycerides on your cholesterol panel, if your triglycerides are above 150 or really even above 100 and your HDL is low, all of these are signs that your body's out of order, you're not as optimal as you could be, and your train's not as optimal as it could be. So if this patient said, no, my A1C is 5, triglycerides are 50, and my HDL is 70, which our patients are there, guaranteed it, guys. I mean, doctors would roll their eyes right now. In conventional medicine, I never saw a patient with a triglyceride lower than the HDL. And that's standard when you eat a high-fat, low-carb diet. Your triglycerides drop to the floor, HDL raises. So if that patient had a good ratio there and their CRP was normal, ferritin was normal, A1C is less than 5.3, and they're healthy and symptom-free, I would say, no, of course not. Don't quarantine yourself. You're fine. Live your life. But if it's not a Veritas patient, or even a Veritas patient who hasn't committed to everything and is still on their journey to wellness, and their A1C is high, and their abdominal circumference is 38 or 40, and their triglycerides are a little up, and they're a little inflamed, their CRP's up, their ferritin's up, their uric acid's up, their fibrinogen's up, they're inflamed, they're at more risk. Still don't know about quarantining, but yeah, if they're older and they know there's an outbreak in town, you have to be smart. You may consider that. So if you're a standard American sick person and you're elderly, especially if you've had any lung disease in your life like COPD or emphysema, yeah, I would be smart. I'd quarantine.
But we haven't even had any cases yet.
Right.
So until we've had cases, there's no need to quarantine.
And the problem there is you can harbor these viruses and not know it. You cannot have symptoms, but maybe be spreading it. I don't know exactly. I know there was a question on how long after you've had a virus are you contagious. That's different for every virus. So I can't say specifically. So that's the tricky part. It actually could be here. And in fact, I mean, the way we're not able to test, you know, my wife was so sick a few weeks ago. I thought, man, it's possible she had coronavirus. It was a bad flu. Of course, she got over it. For a minute there, she wasn't sure. But anyways. It could be here. I mean, we just not know it because we're not testing. So the death rate's hard to even say, because if all you're doing is testing the really sick ones and, you know, 5% of those die, well, you only tested the really sick people, so that percentage is actually off. So how many people have it and don't know it? How many people are going to have it and not go to the doctor because it's just going to be a sniffle and a cold and a 99 fever? How many people are going to be symptom-free, barely feel an ache and a pain for a day and then be fine? We don't know. So the contagiousness and quarantining part, I mean, that's tough. But if, for sure, if you're elderly and you're sick, standard American, and you know that it's here in your community, yeah, I'd be smart about it. But again, what did I say at the top of the show, which I heard at the top of the show that our audio was a little off, so I'm going to repeat that. It's not about the germ, guys. Quit thinking about, worrying about, stressing about, anxiety about the germ. Germ theory died. Louis Pasteur's germ theory, it's dead, guys. It's deader than a doornail. Claude Bernard was a contemporary of Louis Pasteur, and Claude Bernard said, the germ's nothing, the terrain's everything. He gave a lecture, I forget at what institution in Europe, and he drank a glass of cholera. He was that confident in his terrain. That's what it's about, guys. It's all about your terrain. Polio, it's been in our gut flora for hundreds of years. Why did it all of a sudden outbreak and cause paralysis? Has to do with the terrain. Go read the book, Moth in an Iron Lung. It's all about the terrain disruptors that allow these bugs to overgrow and compromise your immune system from being able to kill it. So optimize your terrain. That's what it's all about. So how do you do that? Like I said at the top of the show, fast. Fasting bolsters your immunity. Get good sleep. Get sunshine. Oxygenate your body by getting up out of the chair every hour and walking down the hall. Go outside and do a little more exercise. That will oxygenate you. You need to cut the sugar. Cut it out. I mean, spend this week cutting your sugar out. Cut your grains, corn, wheat, and rice. Those turn into sugar. So eat quality meat, including organ meats. Eat your liver. As best you can, vine-ripened vegetables and colorful fruits, but careful with the fruits. They're hybridized to have more sugar, so you'll buy more of them because it's all about money. Money rules this whole thing in our food production, unfortunately. Not quality, not nutrient value. So careful on the fruit because it's high sugar. Stick with the berries, but keep them moderated. Nuts, seeds, eggs, plenty of fat, real butter, heavy cream. You want the healthy fat. Look at Weston A. Price diet, the Nourishing Traditions diet, paleo kind of diet, a ketogenic, clean keto, though, not dirty keto. You want the right fats. So again, the right fats are real heavy cream, real butter, not margarine, olive oil, coconut oil, avocado oil, the fatty nuts like walnuts, macadamia nuts, pecans. You want the healthy organ meats. Those have good fats. You want grass-fed, pasture-raised, wild-caught. Those have the good fats. You don't want a pro-inflammatory omega-6-rich steak. There's more omega-3, which is anti-inflammatory, in a grass-fed roast than there is in salmon. So wild-caught, grass-fed. Do things the way God intended them to be done from a nutrition standpoint. What was a cow designed to eat? It was designed to eat grass. You can take it to the bank. That fat and that even the muscle meat will be healthier than a cow that's been on grain.
And a good blood pressure for a 69-year-old male, is that just still the standard 120 over 80? Or
that 120 over 80 is a good kind of range, although there's studies.
Everybody.
Those studies show as you get older, into your 70s and 80s in particular, that there's evidence that having a little higher blood pressure, like in the 130s, 140s even, is not dangerous. And it may be even healthier to have that because the body needs to perfuse some of those older organs and get through the older, stiffer blood vessels a little easier. But talk with your doctor about that to assess your individual needs. This show's not giving medical advice individually. We're giving education advice. Last thing, I know we're probably over time, but I do want to say from a spiritual standpoint, the foundation of all our pillars, so it really should be three pillars and one foundation, is peace, true peace, not artificial peace, but true peace, peace that only comes from the truth, and the truth is a person, not a thing. The truth will set you free. The truth is where we get our bedrock of our foundation of peace. Anything else is temporary. You can go do XYZ stress relief technique and get temporary relief for 5 minutes, or you can be at peace all the time despite your circumstances. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm looking for the foundation of the real, true, long-lasting peace, which is Jesus, the Bible. For those who tune me out right then, we'll have another show on why I believe the Bible, why I believe there is a God, why I believe Jesus is the Son of God, why I believe in Scripture. You want to talk about evidence, evidence-based medicine? Well, that's a whole other show in and of itself. Evidence-based medicine is so biased and unpredictable, and the outcomes are contradictory half the time. But evidence for Scripture, evidence for the divine nature of that word, the Bible. And I'm not talking religion, and I'm not talking church. I'm talking about God's word in that Bible, where you can find the foundation of truth and peace in that. This is so much of this is spiritual, guys. We're putting all our faith and hope in these systems of the world, and we shouldn't. It's going to fail us every single time. So we'll talk about that more later. And with our wellness navigators outside the medical realm, where we can speak totally freely outside the constraints of the medical board, that's VeritasWellness.Health, our class that we'll talk about nutrition, hydration, movement, but a core foundational principle of that class is going to be the peace pillar. So join us there with Angie, who actually is in studio today. Angie, but I'm sorry I got on my tangent.
That's okay. It was good.
We saw the back of her head the whole time.
But Angie, Nicole, and Kim, our current navigators, and we'll be adding more to the fold, I'm sure, as demand grows, they have the answer, even more than me. They have the answer as far as nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace. I just have the credibility because I went to med school. But, guys, I just told you the medical system in America gets the worst outcome, so why are you putting all your faith in me or doctors in general? And, again, I'm not talking about the ER doctors and the ICU doctors. Urgent, emergent stuff. We need life-saving measures. But chronic disease, no. Nah. And we didn't even get into flu shots and Tamiflu, but we don't have time for that.
Can we just, if you've done your best effort to stay healthy and you still get sick, can you give protocol? What would you do at home?
Vitamin A. That's cod liver oil. And I would dose it up. If I was sick, I'd take 100,000 minimum, probably 400,000 maximum. Now, that's a one-time dose.
Wait, say that again?
400,000 international units of vitamin A, not beta carotene, as a one-time dose. And then I'd probably follow that with about 100,000 for a couple of days. And then I'd get back to my normal cod liver oil intake. So that's number one, vitamin A, because it makes your cell membrane impenetrable to viruses almost. It makes it very difficult for a virus to get into your cell membrane. And next, if I were sick, I would get on the vitamin C. I would dose it up to bowel tolerance. Next, this is debatable. I wouldn't do vitamin D, any other vitamin D. There's vitamin D in the cod liver oil. Most integrative doctors would tell you to do 50,000 IUs of vitamin D temporarily for 2 or 3 or 4 days. I'm confident in the vitamin D and the cod liver oil, even though it's lower dose because it's a natural form and from sunshine. So I'd go out and get sun and I'd get grounded. I get my bare feet on the ground. That's another talk. I don't have time to explain the why behind that. So I'm just firing from the hip on what I would do. I would fast. I would do bone broth. I'd do fermented foods. Drink some sauerkraut juice, real sauerkraut.
Can you take that stuff on a fasted state and be okay?
Yeah. I mean, not kombucha. I'm not doing fasting right now to lose weight or to get apoptosis. I'm just doing it to rest my gut and to bolster my immunity.
Like a 24-hour kind of deal?
I mean, it depends. If I was really sick, I'd probably do longer than that. That's why you don't eat when you had the flu. You feel achy. You want to go lay down, go to sleep, and you don't eat for a whole day. These are your body's ways of naturally getting the immune system to wake up. The fever is beneficial. Ibuprofen is going to upregulate the ARB receptor in your lung. The ARB receptors is what allows coronavirus to come in. Smoking upregulates the ARB receptors in the lung, and that's the portal for corona to come in. So I wouldn't do the ibuprofen. Tylenol shuts down your glutathione. Glutathione is one of the main antioxidants. So be real careful there. Go find you a good health food store to talk to about using curcumin.
Everybody's going crazy over elderberry.
Elderberry is a good source of vitamin C, plus it has other phytonutrients that work with the vitamin C. That's just a great source of whole food vitamin C. But there's lots of great sources of whole food vitamin C. Squeeze a lime and a lemon into every single thing you drink right now. That's whole food vitamin C, and you're getting all the phytonutrients with it. Salt. Get your sea salt up. So that's the next thing on the list I would do. I hit the cod liver oil, the vitamin C, get some sunshine, do some fasting, and I'd dose up my sea salt aggressively, like 2 to 3 teaspoons a day minimum.
Or Himalayan salt.
Himalayan, Celtic, or real salt. And I do want to say there is a study coming out of China right now. Vitamin C is showing great benefit in the ICU for coronavirus. I do have to mention this is a study from Vaccine Journal, the 10th of January of 2020. Just came out 2 months ago. The flu shot in 2017-2018 increased your risk for coronavirus by 36%. And we've known this even before this study came out 2 months ago. We've known this, guys. Listen to the truth. Look at Cochrane Review Board, the Cochrane Library. They're an independent board that looks at all the flu shot data. Flu shot benefits very, very minimal. But to say it's beneficial for coronavirus is the opposite of the truth. It absolutely makes you more susceptible to coronavirus. and other non-flu viruses are more easy to attack you and get in if you've been taking the flu shot. That's just the truth. Look the study up, vaccine, January 10th, 2020. And there's other studies. Look at the Cochrane Review Board. Just type in Cochrane Review and flu studies, and you'll see all their reviews they've done on it, independent reviews on that. So don't put your hope in the flu shot and Tamiflu. Tamiflu, the same results are very, very minimal. It decreases symptoms for just a few hours. That's it. And lots of potential side effects. So get your natural immune system boosted. Don't put all your hope and all your stock in man-made artificial synthetic temporary Band-Aids. Germ theory's dead. Gene theory's dead. You're the cure. Quit worrying. You're going to be fine. Go live your life. This economy's crashing because we're not living our life. So go be at peace. Turn to the one who is the source of true peace.
Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, of course, Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. We'll be back next week right here on the Monday program, You're the Cure.